Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 27th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Callie Johnson and Lisa Rose, part of their PR team over at the ODC. Looking forward to talking with them. Right now, we have our good friend, Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimble with us. Lance, good to see you.
Good morning, James. Good to be here on a bright, sunshiny, highly unusual day here recently.
Yeah, we should mark this on the calendar. We got sunshine in late December here. It's a noteworthy thing. Appreciate that, Lance, and mentioning that, because I want to talk weather with you. Actually, that's where I wanted to start things off. We actually were talking a little bit just now in our pregame that the weather conditions, while maybe not great for some activities, outdoor activities, budget-wise has been helping us a bit. Is that the case?
Yeah, you know, I don't think people often realize the scope of county government, but how that intertwines with not only all levels of government, but everything that goes on out there in the private economy. So, you know, everybody's looked out the window. It obviously rained on Christmas. It hasn't exactly been the greatest combination of weather events for winter sports activities. Mm-hmm. You know, on a snowmobile, if you want to go skiing, you know, even Granite Peak was closed here recently. It impacts the economy greatly. And, you know, so goes the county to some extent, as goes the economy, because sales tax funds a lot of what we do. So some of those places, hotels, ski areas, those retailers who sell snowmobiles or other winter sports activities have been certainly hampered this winter, as well as our winter sports operations, whether that be up at Powers Bluff in the Tube Hills up there, or whether it be our cross-country ski trails, those types of operations. So we get hit there. Mm-hmm. You know, the economy gets hit. But by the same token, we're not plowing a lot of snow, and we're not spreading a lot of salt. So there's, you know, there's that part of it. It also reduces accidents. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the emergency response and some of the other things that that counties are responsible for and that we pay for. So it's, to some extent, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
If you said to me, what's the biggest impact to the county when we have weather like that, it's probably our forestry operations.
Mm.
So much of the timber that's harvested in our county comes from areas that are a little more wet, mm-hmm. Where they need frozen conditions to get in, and that can contribute anywhere, you know, up to $500,000 a year to our budgets. That's hindered greatly when we don't have frozen ground conditions. So, good and bad.
Right. And I don't know if the two even each other out or not. That's a pretty hard thing to figure out, especially when we're not talking complete data here. One of the interesting things that I found in the last couple of months, Lance, even going back to last year, I remember this, how they're dealing with this up north. Where they're so dependent on this and the weather, and how they're, some businesses are kind of countering and trying to find ways around it to work with the weather. But I mean, that's just it. With so many problems that you face in government or in situations like this, it can be a situation where we make a law or we do this and we can fix it. There's no fixing Mother Nature. There's certainly environmental stuff, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, and you know, we work hand in glove with the private sector. You know, mm-hmm. one of my goals always with government is to get out of the way so the private sector can thrive.
Sure.
That being said, some of those businesses up there are totally dependent on snowfall, winter activity. You know, if you have a whether it be a hotel or a restaurant, bar along those snowmobile trails, I mean, those aren't even open. And frankly, you know, looking at the weather forecast, there's not a really good chance any of those get open by mid-January, even mm-hmm. with the, you know, in the best case. So, you know, tremendously hindered. And then when those don't succeed and, you know, the following years you have less places that are open, less places to go, that tends to trend to less travel into those areas mm-hmm. because there's less opportunity. So, yeah, we're fully aware of that. And at the same time, you know, they work around, you know, specifically to a business. I mean, a lot of the ones that sell downhill skiing equipment, cross country, also sell, you know, other silent sport things, bicycles,
right.
and other things. So,
right.
you know, hopefully that offsets some of it.
Yeah.
You know, your question on direct relation, you know, as a county, we probably save a little bit of money when the weather's good. We also have less, you know, injury, less police response, things like that we have to deal with accidents. But when you look at how it impacts the entire economy, the entire region, yeah, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And the further north I get, you know, once you get north of, let's say, Highway 64, you totally dependent on winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a tough winter right now for them.
Yeah. And here's hoping not only that those ideas to counter this weather work, but that we do get some snow suit, that we do get some of this weather that we need for so many of our businesses and our entertainment out here.
Well, it's a little depressing, you know, when you're listening to Christmas music.
And, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Those songs that have the snow falling or the white yes. Christmas and yes. you're looking out the window and it's 54 and raining.
Yeah.
It's a little bit depressing.
You're so right about that, too. I heard White Christmas, I think Christmas Eve, it was playing on the radio. And it felt like it was taunting me. It felt like a little bit of that. Lance, I want to talk a little bit about the past year and the things that the board, the things that Wood County have accomplished, the things that we can hang our hat on. I say something like that to you, and it's tough to ask you, hey, what did we do in last year in January? I'm not asking specifics necessarily, but off the top of your head, are there some things that you immediately think of with that question?
I think the first thing that I look at is the cooperation, the cohesiveness of our board in general.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have, you know, disagreements on issues, but once those are settled, if a resolution comes forth to the board or you know, an ordinance passes, you typically have full board support. And that's unusual to some extent. As I travel around the country, I hear different representatives, they're in shock when they hear that I say I talked to the sheriff or I spoke to my legislator or that the board is generally in agreement or we talk to each other and don't yell. See, I think one of the greatest accomplishments is the fact that we have a really good board in Wood County. We work well not only internally, but we work well with all our partners, you know, the cities, towns, villages out there. I think that's overall, when you look at everything, that's probably one of the greatest accomplishments. And then as you look forward, you know, what are the big things that have happened this year? Well, one is obviously we're building a huge addition to the courthouse, you know, a jail to replace the one that's, you know, was built part of it in the 50s and just obsolete. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge project. And although we had some supply chain issues early and you had inflation, you know, inflationary pressures that caused some huge increases in cost, since that's, you know, kind of been absorbed into the process, we're on schedule, we're on budget, things are moving along. And the funny part is when I have counterparts in from other counties, as they've looked at their needs as they go forward, and we were one of the first to take the leap, they're going, I can't believe you're building a jail for only, and tongue-in-cheek when I say this, for $100 million.
Right.
Because they're looking at $200, $250 right now because they didn't get ahead of it. And we were lucky enough to bond that project, the vast majority of that, you know, 2% roughly.
Hmm.
The blended rate comes in at about 3 as we finished up the financing at the end of it. So the jail was huge. Kind of statewide and globally, the shared revenue package that the counties pushed for forever and finally came to fruition where we're going to get a portion of the state sales tax, which allows us to, you know, in some ways deal with those inflationary pressures and increased costs as they go along. Because like I said, county government's huge. And when you, I say the scope of it's huge. When you look at the fact that, you know, you run the jails and you have the courts up there and, you know, you have Child Protective Services, and you have the veterans programs, and you run the treasurer's office, register of deeds, clerk of court.
Yeah.
It's a big operation, and there was no way to fund the increases in costs there. All you have to do is go fill up your gas tank, you know, and you see what that is, or you get your heating bill.
Yeah,
that's not exactly a lot of fun right now, electric. So shared revenue, a huge part of the success this year. That was something that every county was involved in as we work together with the legislature to get that done. And then, you know, recreationally, you know, I look at some of the things, you know, some of the progress we made up at Powers Bluff with the new mountain biking facility up there, the improvements to some of the parks, those have been fantastic. As we move forward, our health department, as we dealt, you know, as we tailed out some of the, you know, COVID restrictions that were there, and we look forward to how we are going to spend some of our ARPA money, you know, our recovery money, which we have spent very little of. We took a wait-and-see attitude and what would happen with broadband and, and roads, funding for highways, that type of issues. We still have a fairly significant war chest as we move forward, where we're looking at federally qualified health centers, which would handle a big part of the problem that we have with some of the issues in this area for medical care. Child care, big issue. We're looking at allocating a lot of dollars to that issue. And then the other one, and they're dealing with in some of the municipalities right now, I know Nacoosa has some stuff on the table as well, housing. Housing is a major problem right now. So as we move forward, those are, let's not call them problems, let's call them opportunities.
Yeah.
As we look in that direction, those are things we're looking to accomplish as we go forward, but it's things that we worked on for the last year and tried to prioritize as we move forward. Because although we are reactionary, you know, there's emergencies that occur. Hopefully not today, but most days. You still have to prepare for the future.
I want to get into 2024 as a separate thing. I'd like to actually go back a little bit and talk about 2023 and some of the things we've accomplished here, and take a this isn't about taking a victory lap. This is more about not only taking all this in, but we don't count the wins enough in life. And I don't think there's a bigger issue in America than childcare. I firmly believe that, because it is so attached to so many other problems and issues and situations. So certainly in Wisconsin, that's something that we need to get hammered out. And we definitely need our politicians to start caring more and more about that and working harder and harder on that. I know, because I talked to Teston and Krug about this once a month, and neither of them, and not just them, but nobody has an answer necessarily for this.
Nope.
I think that housing is the other big one. I think that is right there. I couldn't agree with you more about that, Lance. But I do want to focus on the jail for a second. For one, because it's been such a long process, longer than I've lived here, they've been talking about building that new jail. And in 2023, it finally happened. Shovels went into the ground. Even with the holdups, like you mentioned, we are still on pace here. We're still on budget. That's a win we should all be celebrating in this community. And especially if you look at what's going on in Stevens Point. My daughter lives there. I've got friends in Point. I've thought of moving there at times in my life. I love Point. I don't want anything to get this twisted with that. But you look at the issues that they are having, the miscommunication or whatever it is between mayor and board, or people and board and mayor, all of these things, it doesn't seem like they can get anything done almost. Whether it's a new jail or it's a highway or any of these things they're trying to do over there. So I don't think you have to look very far to see a comparison of how we're doing things and how things are going here compared to that. And I'm not at all talking badly about Point. I'm just saying perspective goes a long way.
Yeah, well, you know, whether it's cooperation or communication, you know, when those things break down, you don't make a lot of progress. And that's one of the things I touched on real early. You know, we have those conversations with the other local leaders. You know, we try to make sure that those building blocks are in place. Mm-hmm. So when we need to move the needle on something fairly large, you know, you're not walking in the office and saying, I need. There has to be a relationship where all of those partners know that if there's an ask, it's probably very, very important as we move forward. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to call it a big win, but, you know, just as a cooperative type situation. The city came to us at the county, and you had a foundry that burnt down in mm-hmm. Wisconsin Rapids years ago, and it's been there for years. It's been an eyesore, mm-hmm. and nothing's occurred there. And we ended up taking that in a tax deed situation, and the city said, we have a use for it. So I said, you know what? We're going to give it to you. Basically, do something with it. Build some tax base. Build some likely housing. I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. Nothing's been determined, but based on the availability, the desirability, and how quickly the other housing units that were built right there went, I'm guessing that might be a future use. So, yeah, that's huge. In fact, I had some friends in Portage County. They were actually over here to tour our new courtroom. That was another one. You know, we have a fourth branch of our circuit courts with Judge Giebert up there. They came over. They toured. Some of those officials also toured our new jail facilities that's getting built. And they said, how do you ever get this done? Can we borrow your committee for a year? I said, well, I might be able to lend them to you, but you don't get them. But yeah, you know, those are the things. And whether it be, you know, Scott Krug or Pat Teston, you know, those people in the legislature that we work with from this area specifically, they're always there. They're always willing to listen. Now, does that mean every time on every single issue we're going to be in total agreement? The answer is no. Mm. And more often than not, though, I think all levels of government, we're in agreement on what needs to be done. Sometimes there's a difference of opinion on how we get there.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you know, the money that was rolled out through ARPA is kind of a windfall to some extent. Mm-hmm. It's money that we would have never had. We want to spend it wisely. And at the end of the day, we want to spend it on things where I'll call them legacy projects. None of ours has been used operationally, and it's not going to be. I want to be able to say, we did this, we built that. I don't mean you're going to put a plaque on it with somebody's name on it.
I get you.
But at the end of the day, somebody's going to look back 20 years from now and go, yeah, that's what they did with that. They didn't waste it. So those are the things we talked about a little bit as we go forward. But that's the past year. We've been dealing with those issues And how do we make that better as we move forward?
It's so hard sometimes to try to plan and look for the next year when you are still, you know, working on so many projects from the previous year. And that's everybody, whether it's in your personal life, your job, your business, or local government. It can be a difficult thing. So as you're looking at 2024, you mentioned the war chest that we have, things like that. What are some of the headlines you think going into 2024 as far as needs or things that we are going to be trying to accomplish here in Wood County?
Well, you know, you touched on the most emergent thing from my perspective is probably the child care issue, because the entire economy evolves somewhat revolves around that, probably evolves from that too, but certainly revolves around that. That second income doesn't occur if parents don't have the ability to have child care, get that person out. If they don't have the second income, you don't have housing affordability. All of those things kind of tie together. And then there's the point, too, is with, and I don't mean just child care, good child care, where those younger people are not only safe and cared for, but educated. So when they get into the school system, you know, they're ready to go. I mean, that's going to be a huge issue. How do we continue to you know, provide infrastructure, you know, whether that be improve our roads to make it conducive to businesses coming to the area? Because at the end of the day, it's all about, to some extent, demographics. You know, we can't have that, you know, you've heard referred to many times, you know, the brain drain, or, you know, that movement of our young, you know, educated professionals out of the area. How do we keep them here? How do we bring them back? How do we provide not only that initial education, but those lifelong experiences through our, you know, two-year campuses up in Marshfield or our technical colleges? You know, I used an example the other day, and it was repeated in another meeting I was at. I said, I don't want to just teach somebody to weld, for instance, at the tech school. I want to teach them to own the business and to run it, to have 100 people working for them. So as we move forward, it's so interrelated. You know, I always use the example, you know, you pull on this end of the string, the other end, it kind of comes along, but it's more like pulling on a spider web. Yeah. When you pull on something on this end, it shakes everything, and you move forward. And it is like households. I know, or I'm pretty sure I have my wife probably listening to this show this morning. You know, it starts in your household. And the same thing that you look at from a budget perspective when you're at home, you deal with in government.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to buy a new couch or carpeting if the roof's leaking. So there's some things that you have to take care of that are emergent as you move forward. And if more government officials took that same perspective into the boardroom, that, you know, what would I do? What's best for a family to some extent or a unit is probably also best for a community, which is probably best for the whole county and the state and the federal government as well.
Speaking with Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel, and want to remind everybody that Wood County Board meetings are usually online. You can catch them at our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media's website on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to their page. I bring this up in part, Lance, because when I was talking to people about 2023 and things that they were proud of locally, locals, people that are proud of our board or proud of some of the accomplishments our board has made or our local government has done, one of the first things that comes across that I hear from people, maybe they don't say it this way, but overall transparency. They really appreciate that. Not every county has that. I think we're a little spoiled in that regard, and thankfully so. So that is something that I think when we talk about things, communication and how important that is, the transparency of that and being in people understanding what's happening in these board meetings, even if they can't go there, goes a long way.
If you don't notice what we're doing, we're probably doing a pretty good job.
Right.
Because we're being transparent. You know, you're being reactive to the people in the community, what they see and what they want. You've heard me say this on your show 100 times. You know, there's on our county board, there's 19 people. There's 75,000 people out there in the community. If you don't think there's, you know, 74,900 and, you know, 81 other good ideas out there, that's probably not, you know, the way it goes. And we solicit those thoughts and those ideas. And then if we're not in your way, if we're cooperative and if we're transparent, you know, I always talk about that, you know, be cooperative, be communicative, be transparent. You tend to get along, you get more done.
Yeah. When we're talking about 2024 or any year going forward too, I'm not doing my job if I don't bring up the mill. And if I also don't bring up that we know the mill is an issue, and our people in positions know the mill is an issue. If there is news to break, we will break it. We will tell you. We're in such a standstill with this situation right now. One of the things that I'm curious about, Lance, especially doing my homework and seeing similar things going on in rural communities, one of the ways that they get things done is often bringing the masses in, bring national attention to a story, or trying to get in local news to talk about a story more often, to put public pressure on a company. It oftentimes seems it's the only card to play. Are we at that spot with this?
We probably need to be. Mm-hmm. You know, the interesting part about this is, you know, when we talked the mill, which was integral to the, you know, economy in certainly Wisconsin Rapids, I can tell you in my conversations with other government leaders is we don't always know what's going on, or we find out almost after the fact.
Yeah.
No matter how hard we try to open those channels and have that communication, there are some, you know, pieces that I understand the background are currently moving, that something might occur. And, you know, and it's not going to be a papermaking facility to the best of my knowledge as we move forward. But there is some movement, and yet nobody will tell me exactly what that is. And part of that's intellectual property. Obviously, they you know, they don't want to, you know,
show their
hand, let that out there. You know, at the same time, we deal with some of this, the same situations with the huge medical community we have up in Marshfield, which is one of the leading medical providers in the country, but has faced some real financial challenges this year. So we deal with that, you know, and then everything in between. But you know, when you look, you know, generally in the past, you got the medical community up in Marshfield is a huge employer. You look at, you know, the paper industry down here. And although we have a couple of mills right here that are going great guns and doing a tremendous job, we have a lot of building, a lot of space, and a lot of our commerce tied up in that, you know, I could name 100. The old Consolidated Mill, you know, Stora Enso, Verso. I always said the best job in Wisconsin Rapids in the last 20 years was being a sign maker. Because every time there's a change in ownership, they change all of the signs.
Well said.
You know, and it's kind of amazing. I had the ability or the opportunity, not ability, I guess, to tour some of those facilities recently as they're looking at some, you know, hopefully some change and some use of that facility. But it almost looks like, you know, these old movies where you see something happen in a community and everybody just walked out and locked the doors.
Yeah.
I mean, the computers are there, all the papers, the the pencils, the, I mean, everything that would be there the day you operated the business is still sitting right there, except there's nobody there.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's kind of eerie.
It is, yeah. You go over the Viaduct and you take it a look, and it just, because I got to point at least two times a month, three times a month, and going over that thing, and it's not so much an eyesore to me as it is that, what you're saying there.
And I know our current mayor, soon to be outgoing mayor, you know, Shane Blazer, who's done an outstanding job, has worked on this tirelessly. And I'm sure our new mayor will probably, this will probably be the number one issue ahead of them, because again, impacts tax revenue. That tax base, if it doesn't impact, if it isn't allocated to a business, it ends up being a burden to the homeowner. Because you still have to run the county, the business, and the dollars to run that have to come from somewhere. And since we don't make widgets, you know, it comes from property tax. We'd much rather lay off some of that, you know, to the business community, not just the homeowner.
As we're wrapping up and looking forward to talking to you again next year and everything, Lance, I always like to mention to people that we are always looking for good board members, whether it is a part of the Wood County Board or any local business or nonprofit in your area. They are always looking for good board members. Be a part of these things. You don't want to be, nobody makes a play on the sidelines. You got to get in the game. You got thoughts, you got feelings, you put them to work, make use of them.
Without, you know, government does a lot of things. There's a lot of the programs that we run, but without the charitable, fraternal, you know, organizations out there that you especially notice them around the holiday time, you know, whether it be those that are, you know, food dependent on those or some of the other services they provide, they are integral to what we do. So step up. And then there are opportunities, you know, if you don't want to be an elected official, to a, there's a lot of appointments that I make every year to different boards that I think a lot of people in this community might be more than willing to serve on and would find they make a difference in their own community.
Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimble joining us. Thanks again for the time, Lance. If people have follow-up questions and want to know more, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, my number and my email are both on the website. Feel free to give me a call. Hey, by the way, if you give me a call, leave your name and number because I do not have caller ID. And it's always a guess when they say, hey, call me. Yeah, and I'm going, I don't have a name or a number. So do that.
Struggling there with that one. Appreciate you, Lance. The website, woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Happy New Year to you and yours. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, James. Really appreciate the opportunity.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR. We are locally grown radio.